Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Wolves Fancast. Richard Hobbs here, and joining me pretty much straight after the end of the Crystal Palace game, we've got Stu.
The magic of the FA Cup.
Sorry, the magic of the FA Cup. And we've got Blake.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Not a problem. As I say, we have pretty much just finished watching the Crystal Palace game. Wolves have shown the magic for the FA Cup, and they are up for the Cup. Everybody, Adama Traore scoring a thunderbolt to seal the game in what was a pretty comprehensive performance, all told. But before we start, you might have sort of gathered from Blake's voiceover just then, or if you listened to his excellent stories from the pack. If not, we'll make sure we send out a link to it. But was I right in thinking that was it a Wolves FA Cup game that was your first experience watching Wolves then?
No, it wasn't. Well,
live.
Not live, actually. No, it was Burton Albion, but the FA Cup has been pretty special to me, you know, especially since, what was it, two years ago, we went all the way to the semi-final, and that was just my second year being here as a Wolves fan, so that was pretty, very unique, you know. And yeah, the FA Cup has been really special for a lot of reasons, and, you know, for whatever reason, I've always loved those quiet FA Cup nights where there's, you know, only 12,000 people to see us play Yeovil or something stupid like that. So I think there's a lot to the FA Cup, especially the modern rendition of it, that is sort of overlooked.
I think a lot of fans, there's a level of nostalgia around the FA Cup for a lot of fans. It's fascinating to sort of hear that you've got that excitement, because it is very much different to a 38 league game format, which is kind of quite monotonous, but in theory with a cup game there should be like a level of excitement about it, because if you're out, you're out, and there's no going back from it. And say in practice it should be a really high profile event, and I know over the years it's struggled in some regards, but it's interesting sort of hear that as someone who's kind of joined, slightly almost later on, because it's usually a sort of childhood one. So I'm going to make Stu feel old with my FA Cup one, but my first proper FA Cup memory was Wolves beating Newcastle in 2003, when we were meeting 3-2. And I can just feel him fuming at me now. But it was exactly the same. We got to the quarterfinals that year, and there was a few really good games in that. We beat Leicester as well. And that was like, even though we beat Leicester that year, I think we scored four past them, and Dar scored sort of two running from the halfway line. I can still tell you exactly where I was sitting in Molineux for them, you know, 15 plus years on. Stu, as the older statesman in the room tonight, do you want to give us an FA Cup, I guess sort of your first FA Cup memory?
I think this is, just to clear this up, that this is the first time ever on this podcast that I'm the one with more stubble than anyone else, which is kind of depressing. But yeah, my first one was the Sheffield Wednesday game, but I wasn't there. I listened to it on radio with the penalty shootout. You get 3-0 down in a penalty shootout, and you pretty much expect to lose, and then to come back, and listening to that on radio was probably my first Wolves memory, full stop, really. I mean, I'd obviously been at a game that season in the Anglo-Italian Cup against Atalanta, but as an actual memory, I remember that, like it was yesterday, that the commentary and Pressman and the blasting into the top corner.
I was going to say, I forgive my youth here, but was that the one where Ken Pressman scored a penalty?
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Yeah, 94-95.
Whenever Wolves versus Sheffield Wednesday involving late 90s, it either involves one of two incidents involving Kevin Pressman, doesn't it? It's either him
I was there for the second one.
Yeah, or him getting sent off in, was it like 30 seconds? 13 seconds. Incidentally, I believe Jordan Lescott made his debut that game.
I don't remember anything about that. No, I remember
charging, being about seven. So
charging, well, Blake was like one.
Yeah.
So it was, he'd come running out of his area with his hands in the air, charging the ball down, 13 seconds, red card. It's probably on YouTube somewhere. It's hilarious scenes.
I was going to say it almost fits in a vine, but enough about reliving our youthful days of the 90s. As I open the show with through to the fourth round of the FA Cup. It was a pretty open and shut job for Wolves. Almost from the off, we looked in control, didn't seem to be particularly fazed by what was a Palace team full of senior players, not necessarily first team players, but players with experience. I mean, Stu, we start with the starting 11, Ruddy in goal, but beyond that, it was pretty much a full strength team. Were you sort of happy to see the lineup?
I was surprised. I mean, considering the, well, you couldn't even call it a squad, it's more like a nursery packed at the minute, that bench, the last few weeks, that I expected at least Kundal or Tyler Perry, Terry Taylor, whichever one it is.
I'm just convinced they're the same person.
It's yeah, they're obviously never seen together. And that kind of ilk starting and having a kind of a mix of both, just because of the run of games that we've got and how small the squad is. So to go full strength apart from Ruddy, I was massively shocked. But saying that, I had no interest in this game other than the fact that we were doing this tonight until I saw that lineup. And then I was properly up for the cup. I thought, yeah, we are actually giving it a go, amazingly. And it
was... cardboard tinfoil cup you've got.
I've never had done that once in my entire life. I know everyone expects me, of all people, to kind of done that kind of thing. I have got a Subutio FA Cup somewhere, which is infinitely better, a little plastic one. But it's got the detachable base and everything. I'll find it. I'll put it on Twitter tomorrow.
Okay, so dig it out.
But yeah, no cardboard foil FA Cups for me.
I was going to say, Blake, where do you stand on cardboard FA Cups? But we'll leave it out for today. Were you happy with the starting lineup? I know I was sort of slightly disappointed not to see whoever get a starting place, but I think Semedo very much showed what he was about tonight.
I get it. Semedo played brilliantly, so I don't blame Nuno at all for that. I think tonight was really just about getting a result. You know, it's been a really rough couple of matches for us, and for us to just get out there, get a win, get something, and go to another round of the FA Cup is, it's not great, but it's better than what we have been. And perhaps it's a foundation that we can use to build in the future.
Yeah, I think the interesting one for me, it only kind of occurred to me towards the end of the game, actually, when he got substituted. And I feel like I probably should have tweeted it at the time, but Dendonka does so much, I guess, hidden work in that game.
Yeah.
I almost don't, for him to come in and all of a sudden, we just looked a little bit more on our game. We looked like we had more players available for passes. You know, I thought Neves had a great game as well, and we'll go on to sort of individual performances in a minute. But him back in that lineup, I don't know quite know what it was, but I think he sort of hit the nail on the head. We just got the job done, which is what you need to do in a cup game at the end of the day, because no one's going to remember that, oh, well, you know, it was a bit drab in points. It's about kind of getting through to the fourth round.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think I've been critical of Dendonka's performance in the last third of the pitch, because, and that obviously didn't change, but it's almost irrelevant because of what he does for everyone else.
Yeah.
So you can kind of forgive him for not being able to score or head the ball, but because it's almost just like the band's back together, them three in the middle. They just know what they're doing, and there is no, even though he's been out for such, well, a relatively short amount of time compared to others, he just slotted back in like he'd been out for a week.
Yeah,
it was superb.
No, I mean, I think I could run the Dendonka fan club quite handily, to be fair. I always think he's got it all as a player, apart from he's not quite creative enough going forwards. But I don't know, I think you're right. It's what he brings to the players around him. It's whether it's just like extra energy. I don't quite know what, but I know first half was interesting for me. I think we kind of clearly showed we were a better team. And after about 10 minutes, I kind of thought, yeah, we're going to be the only team who's going to do something in this. It's just a case of whether we actually do it. And I thought Neto and Traore both started the game really well. It was almost traditional out-and-out wingers, which I can't really remember seeing Nuno play to proper sort of almost... yeah, out and out wingers, almost, you know, paint on the heels type of thing, really. But it seemed to really work for us tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost like a very Kenny Jacket kind of lineup for it,
yeah,
in a way.
Yeah.
With how wide they were both playing, but I think it just because that how they play and how they played last time against us, and we destroyed them last time as well, which is barely months ago, and it was so convincing that time. It was like, well, we can't do exactly the same thing again. We'll mix it up a bit more. But Traoré was, you know, I thought that whole right hand side was superb tonight, yeah. And we ain't said that for a long time, have we?
Yeah. Blake, I guess sort of what are your thoughts on sort of Wolves' right-hand side, Traoré and Semedo?
Yeah, you know, look, I can't blame anyone for not being 100% this year. This year was always going to be weird one way or another. And without fans, I think you take out this energy that especially for a winger is super impactful. You know, you don't have that added intensity that an atmosphere brings to the game. And I certainly can't blame Adama, certainly, who hasn't really been on form recently for getting off to a rather poor start. But tonight he played absolutely superb. Lights out. There was, I don't think there's anything you could say that Adama did wrong tonight. I mean, he was making brilliant runs. He was making players look stupid. And yeah, we just seemed to have that right wing down tonight.
Yeah, I was going to make a really off-key political joke, then, and I won't. I think we'll, and you know what? I think we can all be better for it.
We'll only end up with capital punishment in America if suffered that enough. Yeah.
And I don't want the edit job. but you know, I thought Semedo just. It wasn't even a fact of how well he was doing at fullback. There was a couple of points in the second half where. Palace were trying a little bit harder and sort of trying to knock the ball, you know, out wide to him. And I think there's been a couple of times where he's been caught with the ball over top of on a diagonal. And tonight he just seemed to clear them up just nice and tidy. There are parts where he was sort of just dropping up in the middle. And, you know, he's come for a lot of money, frankly, all footballers do. And he's come with a level of expectation I don't think many other Wolves players have had. The fact that he's came from Barcelona, being a first team player there, to then becoming a, you know, you're hardly going to ever light the world on fire playing at right back, unfortunately, as I fully well know from my football youth career. But yeah, it is a difficult job for him in a way. But I thought tonight he was superb, and say sort of alongside Traoré, who, you know. He had chances to try to think of what I was trying to put it down. He seemed to be a bit more willing to take chances. There's been a lot of talk recently about how sort of fewer goals and assists he's made recently, but he seemed to be wanting to take shots on more, particularly on his left foot. And he was also, you know, and he also sort of set up a couple of really good chances as well for his teammates.
Yeah, he was going back to that first half performance against Brighton, wasn't it? A lot of the time where he was. You can see what he was trying to do. He was trying to, he was almost trying to Grealish it at times as well and trying to win the fouls because yeah. That's our best route to goal at the minute. But yeah, you are right. His confidence from 2 weeks ago is a massive difference. And it's the same with Semedo as well. And like you said, we all talked about this in the Fable group chat earlier, that balls over the top, you're kind of shitting yourself automatically because... It's kind of like his Achilles heel, but tonight, I mean, even at the end when balls and corners were coming in and he was heading them away, he didn't switch off. And that's what his problem's been so far. It's almost like it's took him almost halfway through the season to kind of, yeah, this is England and not Spain. And we do things differently here. Well, Brexit, rah-rah. But it's finally clicked for him. And the last three games, he's been great. And tonight, I think that was easily his best performance in a Wolves shirt. I mean, probably his best performance for a year after the Barcelona went through at the end of last season as well. So it's you are right. He came in with massive money and he's a name as well, which even people who kind of a vague interest in football know Nelson Semedo, as the commentator was calling him tonight for some weird reason. Most people know that name, even if they don't know the player. So He's coming with a reputation.
And if and not, apart they from, certainly know Barcelona.
Yeah, and other than what was, you probably said Moutinho was the last name that we bought in.
Yeah.
And how well he adapted to England, it's kind of like a, it's kind of like a false prophet more than anything else. Kind of, he's kind of like, well done, fun. He's not the same as Doherty. And we were, like Gully said as well, we were kind of spoiled with Doherty's goal scoring. And no one's going to make that up. So, yeah, no. Well pleased with that right-hand side tonight.
I mean, speaking of goal scoring in this Wolves team, what did we think of Fabio Silva tonight? Because I've been a real advocate for him in this team. I think he holds the ball up well, but tonight, I'm just making weird noises on audio now.
Yeah, it was poor, but look, he's 18. There's only so much you can expect of him. I know we've paid over £30 million for him, but at the end of the day, I don't think we ever anticipated on playing him this quickly. I don't think that was ever in the cards, and we've just sort of been forced to because obviously Raul's been injured and we didn't have any other options. So I don't lay a lot of blame at Fabio's feet, but it has been really poor, I would say, recently. And it's not necessarily the worst thing, you know, especially considering that we're down mid-table. We're probably going to, realistically, I doubt that we're moving too far away from mid-table by the end of the season. And giving him some time might not be the worst thing in the world. And humbling him a little bit, you know, whenever there's big money, there is a chance that a player might think that he's maybe too big for his britches and that he's a lot better than he actually is. And for him to perhaps get some actual Premier League experience, get some time, you know, playing with the big boys and eventually go back down to the youth system, knowing full well what it is that he's going to have to grow into, I don't think that's the worst thing at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't kind of disagree with you. And I think for any young player, you need game time. And I don't think he's given a bad account of himself so far in a Wolves shirt by any stretch of your imagination. I guess it's his ability directly in front of goal. I think he's quite good. I think he's really good at linking up the play. I think he gets himself in the right positions. And he showed it in the first half with that header from 6 yards out. And I appreciate it was at an awkward angle. But whether you're 35 million or 5 million, that's a big chance a striker should be taking, surely, Stu.
Yeah, he's I mean, Blakey's right. We have got to be kind of, I ain't going to nail him because it's not his fault. I mean, he started more games for us than in his whole life in men's football. So it's kind of like, well, it's the true fish out of water. Kind of almost a comedy at this point that he's so bad. But again, we've paid the money because we wouldn't be able to sign him from now because of the Brexit rules. And that was always obviously the reason why he was bought in. And after what happened with the young compatriot who went to Atletico Madrid, they were never gonna sign him if he'd progressed like that. So it was a gamble and well, you put it this way, it's like when Blake came over here at 18. And did he expect to? There's method in this. Was it wise for him to go on a drinking bender with me for 2 hours and have 5 points when he never had 2 points in a whole day before? And he probably wasn't because he was sick in a tree. So, but he learned from it. And now he drinks cider. So he's adapted. It's took him a while. And it's the same with Fabio Silva. So, I mean, tonight it was like...
Stu, are you trying to advocate to be Fabio Silva's life coach?
Well, he could do worse. But, I mean, tonight it reminded me. I mean, we had that the Goodyear sign on the LED boards, which was amazing, seeing that back at Molineux. And it was like, it was almost like the old games when Bully used to be rested and we used to play Glenn Crow. And he was young, he was quite shit. But it was his fault that he was. He was young.
No.
If we're comparing Fabio Silva to Glenn Crowe, then fine. But hopefully they go different ways.
Yeah. I mean, as I say, I don't know how poor I'd class his performance as last night, as it was today. But just those couple of chances. And I don't like to say, well, if Rahul was there, he might have scored it, sort of thing, because it's ifs and buts, isn't it? It's just, I think I just want him to do well. And when he gets the opportunities, it's so hard because he's got that albatross price tag on him, hasn't he? But I still think he's got all the potential. I think definitely sort of still between now and the end of the season, if what they're saying about Wolves not really being in the hunt for lots of players, maybe we get one more on loan up front, which I think I doubt. He's going to be playing, you'd argue, about 50% of the time now Patrick Cotrone is back as well. So he's going to have options. He seems to bring something different to Cotrone as well. I don't think we really got enough chance to see Cotrone tonight to really get a gauge on how we feel he's going to do. But I mean, the fact he's not made a start all season, I think he's come off the bench 11 times.
175 minutes all season.
That's a little bit alarm bells for me. You know, essentially Fabio Silva's played more minutes than him.
Yeah. But I mean, when he came on, he put himself about straight away, which is something that Fabio Silva doesn't do. And it's not his game, so why would he? He's a different kind of player. And it was like what the problem was the first time with Cotrone. He was too similar to Raul to play with him. And Raul never got injured, so he couldn't play then either.
Yeah. I do think on paper, I can't see Wolves shifting again. But Silva and Cotrone up front, I think, would work really well. Because they seem to have sort of slightly contrasting games. Almost they've got different parts of Jimenez's style. So Jimenez's box office. There's pretty much nothing he can't do as a centre forward. He can lead the line. He can run in behind. He can drop, you know, he can drop short. He can turn, run with the ball. But, you know, he's almost like the middle of the Venn diagram between Silva and Cotrone for me.
Yeah, I mean, you could go back to playing two up top. And it might work. I mean, it's worth a go at least.
Stu, let's think about it. We know we can play four at the back now. We've got two really good out-and-out wingers in Neto and Traore if we need to, and we could play two up front. Do we think Nuno could go for four fucking two?
Fucking two. I think it's a possibility now.
I think it is. I really think it is. Who else sort of stood out for yourselves? I think maybe apart from Ait Nouri, I don't think anyone had a bad game.
He's a rogue little petulant. He's another one though. It's not his fault that he's there. He's clearly not ready. He's one good game, two atrocious games. But again, like I said, he's 19, and we haven't got another option. So he's going to have to play himself into form.
Yeah, Blake, what did you think about Nouri tonight?
I thought he was fine. You know. We didn't really need him. So I think at the end of the day, that's the reality of the situation. We didn't need him. And that's just that.
It's a worrying sign for Crystal Palace that the fact that we essentially could have played with 10 men and probably beat them. I think for me, it was kind of indicative for Ait Nouri that he managed to get booked for time wasting on a throw-in in the opposition's half in the 65th minute. You know, it's...
I mean, Coot had gone power crazy at that point when he'd already give two fell throws to Palace. You can see he was, this is going to get mentioned on the football cliches on Twitter. I'm going to be mentioned here.
So
he's moment in the spotlight.
In the live game that didn't have any pundits covering it. I hadn't quite realised that going into the game. Realise I'm tangenting here, but like I sort of was on BT, I was like, oh great, and sort of tuned in pretty much bang on 7:45. Like, coverage fine, it was a bit tricky to find, that probably should have been a red flag for me. And it got to half time, it's just like, are you not gonna sort of drop to someone in the studio? I know sort of Liverpool and Villa was their sort of box office one tonight, but give us a bit of love.
I mean, the quality of the picture was absolutely piss poor on Virgin as well, and it was like watching a video. I mean, when Andy mentioned that it was better on alternative means, I checked them alternative means on my phone just to curiosity, and it was better. watching it on there than actually watching it through paid services. You think, well, at least, like you said, at least make some kind of effort. You know, even if you're not putting a studio guest or a studio of any kind, just one man on his own on the gantry.
I was going to say, speaking of making an effort, Blake, are you very happy that Crystal Palace didn't make an effort in terms of trying to have shots at John Ruddy? Because going into the game, if I was Roy Hodgson, for me, my game plan would have been to shoot at John Ruddy and see what happens.
Yeah, just from anywhere. Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like Palace didn't really have many options anyways. They would take the occasional shot from distance, but it seemed like it would either be blocked or it'd be 10 feet over. So I don't know. It seemed Palace just didn't turn up at the end of the day. And, you know, we were up for it and they weren't. And that's just kind of how the modern FA Cup goes.
Yeah, I think definitely Wolves were the team who were up for the Cup tonight. Before, I guess, we round up our Crystal Palace chat, who do you want to give Man of the Match to? Because I think it's actually quite a wide selection tonight. Let's go with Stu.
I mean, just because of how much of a massive improvement it was, and now I think Spears put something out about just somebody don't know that he doesn't have to run under 20 mile an hour. I think he was superb tonight in his especially in the first half, and he didn't do anything wrong, which is what his weakness has been. So I thought Semedo was easily man of the match.
Yeah. Blake, how about you?
I'll go with the more stereotypical pick and just say Adama Traore. You know, look, he makes guys look foolish on the wings. And if he could start scoring again like he did tonight, it would really help us on the offensive front. So let's hope he can carry this form and keep scoring.
You know what? I'm going to go with Semedo, but as I say, I think you could have probably quite easily give it to Pedro Neto. I think Neves and Martino both had really good games in the middle of the park and didn't put a foot wrong. I mean, in fact, you didn't, you know, nothing of note from Sace and Cody probably says more about Palace than them to themselves. But, you know, I think there's lots of players in that lineup who put in a really good shift, which I guess hopefully stands us in good stead for Tuesday night when we play Everton, which we'll talk about right after this. Hi, Richard here. Before you go back to hearing us dissect the latest Wolves news, some really shoehorn Simpsons references, a bit of 90s film action, of course, a bit of wrestling, I just want to do a quick shout out for our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media. Now, they've done a fantastic job on the Wolves Fancast website, wolvesfancast.com. Please go check it out. But they're not just web designers, they're a creative agency that cover all your design needs, from websites, brochures and signage to marketing, logo design and branding. There's basically nothing they can't do marketing-wise, so make sure you check them out at pixelyetimedia.com and I'll let you get back to enjoying the show. Welcome back. On Tuesday, Wolves will be playing 7th in the table, Everton. I think it's going to be quite an interesting game because, of course, Everton did win the league back in September, if you remember correctly. And they've sort of slowed down a bit now and are now sort of sitting in 7th on 29 points. But they've played 16, so it's sort of opportunity for them to, in theory, go up as high as 4th at the moment. How do we sort of see Everton sort of panning out this season? Because they seem to me a team who have got a lot of strong individual players, and Ancelotti's got this ability to slightly, you know, unify groups of players, but they don't seem to necessarily be quite there and seem to have a good rick in them when they need to.
They're still Everton, ain't they? It's amazing.
Yeah.
They still managed to be Everton again. Regardless of, I mean, Ancelotti, he gets them on runs and then they Everton it up. And then they end up back in seventh where they're normally... the whole thing of the Everton Cup, the Europa League place of seventh, which they've only probably been there like twice in the last 5 years, but it just seems to be an Everton place to be. And they're just so weird. Like, they've got players there, and that, like when they won the league at the start of the season, where you think they're going to be unstoppable, and then they just turn and they just go shit again. And you never really know what's going to happen. I mean, when we played them towards the end of last season, when we obliterated them and they were terrible that day.
Yeah.
I mean, were you, was that when you, on your time when you were watching from the fence, Blake?
Yeah. Yeah, so if you didn't know, for the first couple of matches after we went into whatever lockdown and we had restarted football again, I actually went to Molyneux, and there's a place above the subway where if you look just perfectly beyond the scoreboard, you can see the goal on the one end of the North Bank side. So I, for a couple of matches, went out there just there and watched the North Bank goal for the entirety of a couple of matches. Experience I wouldn't give up, I'll tell you that much.
I was going to say, it sounds quite a novel way of trying to catch a game. I know, I know of people who used to try and watch games from the University Art Building, which lights up at night as well. I don't know if it is still really viewable because it is a pretty big distance. But I'm trying to remember the game now. Did you see any goals watching the North Bank?
I never saw Wolves score. That's what I'll say. I was never able to see Wolves score on that goal. I saw Arsenal score in that goal, but that was it.
Okay, fair enough. Fair. I would say we're Everton. They seem we talk about almost from the last time we played them. We gave them a genuine trouncing. It was probably one of the most devastating Wolves displays I've seen in a while in terms of how merciless we were and Neves, you know, playing his long raking balls over the top. But Everton seem to have genuinely just invested a lot of money in that midfield. You know, it's almost a completely new one compared to essentially a year ago now. But, you know, players like James Rodriguez seem to have just quietly disappeared into the backdrop again. But I think it's interesting. But I think, for me, if you can stop the supply into Dominic Calvert-Lewin, you're very much just stopping Everton for me. Stu, how do you think Wolves are going to approach your game?
I think we'll do what we always do. I don't think we'll do what we did today and go at them. I think it'll be the tried and tested, let's start slowly kind of thing, especially because they have got firepower and we know they have. And when they are on form, they have the potential to put three or four past you easily. So I expect him to start slowly. If that's a good or bad thing, who knows? I mean, at this point, you can't even say, will it be four or five at the back anymore?
I was going to say that's literally my next question is, do we think we're going to go for back three, maybe even play Ndonka back there, or have Kilman in there and sort of try and squeeze Calvert-Lewin as much as we can? Or do we think, you know, to try and take the game to him a bit more?
I don't know. Nuno's been a bit random recently, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know anything more than he does. And, you know, back four, back five. I think for us, really, it's going to come down more to what we can do up front, especially without Raul. And I know you said previously that you don't want to talk a lot about what could be and what would be with or without Raul. But I think that without that key player up front, it just makes things a lot more complicated. And for me personally, I'm a lot more concerned about what we're going to do up front than we are at the back.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I think it's almost like it makes no difference. I think you mentioned that earlier, Rich, when we were going to a back four today makes no difference defensively because the midfield shape as it is naturally defensive anyway.
Yeah, I think if you've got Donk in the team,
yeah, it just kind of it defaults. So I think now, like we are, I mean, we've got really nothing to play. I mean, I know the points wise, there's obviously loads to play for, but if we are going to be trying go forward a bit more, then and we have got Cotroni back. I mean, I would start Cotroni because why wouldn't you? Now he's back. He's not knackered. I mean, yeah, he might not be match fit. But
he's not going to be any worse than Fabio Silva.
Exactly. So someone who hasn't played all year is better than Fabio Silva at this point in time. So you might as well play him from the start. I mean, like tonight when Gibbs White came on and he played him on the right, and I thought, why? You've brought him back to play in the middle, obviously. Yeah. And when he brought Hoover on later on and he went in the middle after he'd already been on a booking, you think, well, you could have made a double sub anyway. It's the FA Cup, five subs. It was five subs, was he? I presume it was.
So. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so he could have quite easily made two subs and put Hoover on and Gibbs White and kept the balance there and played him in his actual position and where he's played well for Swansea before he got injured. So, I mean, from that point of view, if Gibbs White's going to play him as a 10, which is his actual position, and not trying to shoot him in on the right or the left, which is didn't work last time.
So, do we think? What do we think in terms of that sort of attacking lineup more than anything? Then, I mean, if we assume you go for a back, if you go for a back four, I'm assuming what started tonight, maybe Marcel in left back if he's fit, but that's a that's another Silvio situation. It's starting to feel like, isn't it? Where we only get to see him if we sort of, you know, he's an anti werewolf. No, he isn't an anti werewolf. He is a werewolf. We just get to see him like every 4 weeks, don't we? Would you go? I guess with the players we've got available, then Stu, Donk plus Neves and or Moutinho, two wide boys in Neto and Traore with Gibbs White behind Cutrone. Then
that's what I'd do, just because I thought Moutinho did okay today, but I thought Neves being deeper than he has been for a while did really well. Especially with he pulled off a couple of, he had that sliding swipe tackle in the first half as well. I thought, he ain't done that for a while.
He won a tackle against, I think it was Zahar as well, sort of like, so I was sort of trying to drive forward. And he just like properly kind of tackled him, advanced the play so well.
Yeah, so if you've got him doing that, then and you've got Dendonka being box to box, and then you've got Gibbs White in his actual position, I think at this moment in time, and you've still got Martini on the bench, which we haven't had before. We haven't had a bench for a while. So, and we have got the dreaded game a few days later as well. So
against them lot.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that yet. But we've got a few options now. So, I mean, personally, I expect him to go with the same lineup, but with Cutrone instead of Fabio Silva. That's what I'd expect. But personally, I think give one of Moutinho and Neves a rest just because of the games coming up as well.
Blake, is that sort of how you'd pick us sort of going forward then? I feel like we're all kind of relatively settled on having a back four now, judging by sort of how... Because I guess, for me, I think you said earlier, we're pretty much nailed on for a mid-table finish. We're not going to get relegated. We're not going to get to seventh, if we're being honest. But we have been up for the cup in one game out of seven or eight. Do you think that there is a, I guess, Nuno playing a bit of chess while everyone else is playing checkers, that this is, like, I was going to say genuinely, like, this could be our route into Europe?
Certainly.
If we think about it, but, you know, there's so many Euros teams competing, it's going to be a real rat race. Will a lot of teams drop out of competing for sixth, seventh place? No, sorry. The teams who are competing for sixth, seventh place drop out of competing for the FA Cup because that's where they can see us, and maybe we end up with a final against like a Man City and have to chance it on the day.
Yeah, certainly. It's definitely possible. I would argue that Crystal Palace are in a very similar situation to us.
And yeah, they should be.
At all.
No.
And, you know, not to jinx anything, but there is, I would say, a fair chance that we could have a limited number of fans at Wembley for an FA Cup final. So that would be quite the reward after all of this, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, there is certainly, I'd say, a good chance that Wolves could make this their gateway to Europe, and what a way it would be.
I mean, I think it makes sort of a lot of sense to also put a lot of chips in an FA Cup basket. And hopefully we learn from last time and don't put our second string goalie out in the most important game in the club's history in several decades. But that point aside, I guess. What are our score predictions for Tuesday night? We will go to Blake first.
1-1. I just think it's been that kind of year. I think Everton are still strong despite their recent form, and I just feel like something goofy is going to happen, and it's just going to be 1-1.
Stu?
It's almost Huddleski. Well, no, let's get 2-0. I ain't in a 2-0 for a while. Same as temporary, rejoining a positive club for one night. But yeah, I mean, it depends. Like we said, it depends what Everton turn up, and it depends how negative Nuno wants to be. Ideally, we'd score just before half time, and then just after half time, and then shut up shop, and it'll all be okay. But yeah, 2-0.
Well, I'm going to go for 2-1 Wolves with the idea that we'll score like almost just before half time, you say, or a similar time as we did today, get another one second half on the counter attack, concede in the 85th to 90th minute, and spend what will be 6 minutes of added time, despite the fact that only 4 subs have been made and no injuries, and we're just shitting ourselves for 6 minutes. So that's my score prediction. But gents, before we round up today's show, shall we go to Twitter Corner?
Twitter Corner.
I was going to say that I say it like there's a genuine choice you've got here. So big thank you to everyone who's asked questions, who's sent us a question after today's game. So I will quickly flick through them. Ooh, good one. Ash Dolan, big friend of the fan cast. What's your favourite deodorant gift set to get for Christmas? A classic Lynx Africa, or do you go at market with a Bayliss and Harding set?
I don't know what that second one is. So, I mean, if it was me, I'd have Lynx Inca back, the better one. But now they have to take that away from us, don't they? I mean, I don't have Lynx Africa this year. I had the gold one.
Okay.
Which was a kind of, it messes with the formula, so I'm going to have to buy one for myself. But yeah, it's
bleak, isn't it? How to buy yourself. would you buy it as a gift set, or would you just buy them the individual components, like just in Easter and Pooh?
You've got to buy it as a gift set. You can't cheat. I mean, if I knew that I wasn't getting a Lynx Africa, I would have wrapped it up for myself for a Christmas present. Let's just put it that way. Because Lynx Africa... Is this even a thing? Or is it Axe Africa over there?
Yeah, like, it's Axe.
See.
Have sort of the same, I guess, sort of culture. Is it the same cultural cornerstone as it is here? Because the last few years, it must be from about 10 years ago when it used to be quite a big thing. Stu just has a can lying about of Lynx Africa, probably also of beer, to be fair. But
yeah, a thirsty ferry tonight from the Badger Dorset Brewers. Oh. It's a nice little plug there.
Yeah.
They used to sell Axe in Hooties, and when you used to go in there, and it was Axe, and we thought, oh, it's knockoff Lynx, and then you read the thing, and it's for North American distribution only.
Next question from Dean Marston: favorite pizza topping? I'm assuming in honor of Catrone. Blake, I'll go to you first.
Pepperoni and green chili. I'll tell you what, that's a really good combo.
Okay. Stu, how about you? Straight up margarita?
It used to be. It's Cajun, then Cajun chicken.
Okay.
The Cajun chicken pizzas from Aldi are superb as well. They're on Monday night, surprisingly.
I'm a big fan of a meat feast or just a... I was going to say, you know what? I'm going to use this as my platform for this, and I don't quite know why I'm starting this. I don't see what the hatred is towards Hawaiian pizzas.
Well,
look, if you don't like something, great. You know what? Everyone can be a bit Marmite. I think I thought Stu was about to walk away from a second. He just dropped off. But I don't see what people have got so vehemently against it.
If you eat what you want, it don't matter, does it?
Yeah.
I mean, is anyone offended?
To it, it's got pineapple on it.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can roast grilled pineapple. I don't.
But does anyone object when you go to a wedding and there's the cheese and pineapples on a stick?
No.
Exactly.
I mean,
He's looking at us like we've gone mental. Do you know what cheese and pineapple on a stick is, Blake?
Yes.
Would you have it at a wedding and not just like a seventh birthday party?
I did my wedding.
But I think my point still stands, Stu. Anyway, I don't get the hatred for pineapple. I mean, tweet us at WWFC Fancast, or even at, you know what, at Rich Top Six. Just tell me what the anger is towards pineapple on pizza. I'd love to know. I don't quite understand it personally. Rant over for another week. Right, what have we got next? Okay, Andy Smith. Does Fabio need a bloody good haircut to stop the ball skidding off his uncontrollably off his bounce?
No, his hair's superb. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's fine. I've never been a fan of the mullet, ironically, considering the state of my own hair right now.
I was going to say, I think, as I said before, he looks like he could be in an indie band, and that should never be held against him.
Yeah, he could be in the Strokes and no one would bat an eyelid.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if that isn't how we should judge strikers, then I don't know what it is. Right, last question. Drum roll, please. We'll go from last one from David. Was this Wolves' best performance of the season so far?
Oh, you're trying to. It's almost a complete blank of this whole season in that moment.
I said the question out loud, Stu. I'm not going to lie to you. I could genuinely not remember another football match Wolves had played.
There's been snippets here and there, either, and he said that the terrible clean sheet record as well this season.
Mm.
It's probably the most complete, but that's because Palace were a complete pile of shit. So, and they didn't try but you can only play against what you're playing against, don't you? So, from a complete performance wise, then I suppose it is by default. But we wasn't up against much. You know, there was certain, like the Arsenal performance was a much bigger win in the circumstances because of what had just happened, and to still put that performance in, that was much more heartwarming in a way. But it kind of was, and it was a better all round performance.
It was a more emotional win.
Yeah, exactly. So, for me, the Arsenal game, just because of the circumstances about it, despite how bad Arsenal were at the time, that took a lot more bollocks to win that game and to get anything from that game than beating a team full of Zaha's worst nightmares of just not doing anything. So, no, it wasn't.
Like, was this your, I wouldn't even say standout performance, but we'll go for most complete performance of the season. Are there any sort of highlights for you so far?
Chelsea was fun, you know. I think that was sort of nice considering the state of things. And to have gotten that 90th minute winner was something we hadn't done in quite a while. In fact, we had been conceding 90th minute winners for quite some time. Yeah. So to have finally gotten one again was a nice little bite back.
Yeah, I think sort of looping almost back to the start. I think tonight, yeah, I'd go as far as saying it was almost our most complete Nuno performance so far this season, that we controlled and managed the game for almost from start to finish. Palace weren't great. We knew that. They arguably knew that as well. We got the goal when we needed to without it kind of, it didn't come so early that it gave Palace almost the whole game to change what they're doing. It didn't come so early as well that we didn't quite know how to handle the game, and it didn't come too late that we're starting to panic. And obviously we're not in the stands or whatever, but you know, we've all had it as fans where even watching as TV you're starting to get apprehensive when you're sort of getting to the 60th 70th minute and there's not been a goal. But we always looked confident, we always looked comfortable, and we always looked like we were going to win, which is kind of what you want as a fan, I guess.
Yeah, it was satisfying because we were so much on top at that point. And you had the Fabio miss earlier, and there was a couple of...
It's made out of a shot, you know. Yeah, we had chances.
So, which is a lot better than you could say for recent weeks.
Yeah.
So it was like the goal was coming, but it actually did this time rather than just fizzle away and then let them back in the game like it has been for the last month or so. But yeah, it was a nice night.
What we needed.
Yeah, it was a nice way to spend a Friday night. You know, first one back under sort of our super fun lockdowns. Just, you know, I don't think I could have coped, actually. You know what? If it was anything like, if it was like a 3-2, 4-3 win or something, and because all we'd have done is just bemoan the defending anyway. You know, it's just nice to just sit down, have a beer, and just watch your game, just see Wolves, just do what they need to do. And fingers crossed we can do it again on Tuesday and hopefully against the other lot next weekend as well. Big thank you to everybody who's listened to today's show. Make sure you keep up with all things Wolves Fancast across our social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, feel free to go to our YouTube page. We've got lots of fun and fresh content on there, from our FIFA Greet series to Gully's tactical analysis to our post-match fan reaction as well. You've got any videos that you want to send in for a post-match fan reaction after the Everton game, straight afterwards, just drop a sort of a 30-second clip over to us on email, wolvesfootballfancast@gmail.com, or just drop us a quick DM on Twitter. Big thanks, as always, to our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media. Go check them out for any website and marketing stuff, pixelyetimedia.com. We will be back after the Everton game, as well as I think we're trying really hard for throughout this lockdown. Again, it's crap. Let's just, you know, no two ways about it. Thankfully, the football's continuing at the moment, so we'll be still bringing out all our regular pods. We'll sort of also try and bring out some other content as well. So we'll be hopefully bringing out one of our latest mental health podcasts as well in the next couple of weeks. But otherwise, we will see you after the Everton game. So it's goodbye from Blake.
Take care.
It's goodbye from Stu.
And if you want to listen to any film-related content, Cage Fighting, @CageFighting on Twitter. Stay safe, everyone. Goodbye.
And it's goodbye for me. See you next time.